is a little scary. You know?
Is there sound in the ending house?
It's a joke about sound, but I'll spare you that.
I did seriously want to talk a little bit about intercession and what that looks like. And we had talked, a number of us have talked about the need to pray and the need to seek God together in an intercessory way. And so I wanted to kindly lay out briefly what this looks like and how it might look here. Because we're actually thinking of maybe monthly getting together and praying for the ministry of this church and the world we live in that we see around us right now. So this is it's a trick question, so I'm trying to do this in a way that won't embarrass anybody. So I'm thinking the best way to do this is have everybody just raise, now I'm not telling you why you're raising your hand, but please everybody raise your hand like this. Because this is, I don't want to embarrass anybody. And the question I was going to ask is, how many people here have something to repent of? Okay, you can put your hands down. So this way everybody had their hands up and nobody gets embarrassed. The fact of the matter is, I think most of us, at least those of us who walk with the Lord many years, the question to the answer is, God's dealing with me on something. There's something in my life that God wants changed. I mean, Paul himself, the holy apostle, said things about himself that I found really wild. I mean, he has a guy who goes around healing people, you know, opening jails, and he says, I'm a miserable man, you know, I'm hopeless. I think the closer you get to God, the closer you realize how holy he is and how we have some steps to make before we get to where we need to be. And so I want to really quickly talk about repentance as a way of life, and I also wanted to give a couple scriptures as to what happened in the Bible and how amazing God is. I'm going to go right to my second scripture, which was 1 Kings. I'm reading through the whole Bible, chapter by chapter. I'm finding it very interesting in the Old Testament because it has so many applications for today. New Testament's better. If you're going to make a choice, read the New Testament. But if you can, read both. Ahab. I don't know what you know about Ahab. Ahab was one of the most wicked kings in the history of Israel. He murdered people. His wife was Jezebel. We've all heard of Jezebel. Terrible. Absolutely. I can't say any adjective to make him sound worse than him. I mean, it was absolutely horrible. He would make the most down-in-the-gutter person blush here. I'm telling you. So a prophet comes to him and says, you know, this is wrong, and I'm not going to give you what the prophet said. And then God's talking to the prophet, and he said, see how, and when Ahab heard this, I mean, we're talking about a guy who lived years of abomination. When Ahab heard that, he tore his cloth, which is a way of repentance, and he said, I'm undone. He was broken up about the whole thing. And God, this is God speaking, see how Ahab humbled himself before me. Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days. And so there's a place where, a place of repentance and a place of when we humble ourselves before him, it's something very precious in God's sight. There's another scripture I'm sure we've all heard. My people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. So again, a foundation of intercession, I think, is the proper posture, which if we're not kneeling physically, we're kneeling in our hearts. Jesus spoke of a righteous Pharisee going to church one day, and there's the tax collector, tax collectors were the low of the low. Okay? These people were giving their people a shaft. They were taking money from the children of Israel and terrible people. So here's the Pharisee. Jesus said, well, Pharisee was praying such and such to himself. Interesting, to himself. I'm glad I'm not like that tax collector. Glad I'm not like him. I give tithes of everything I've earned. You know, I follow the law. I'm perfect. Hey, I'm great. And then the tax collector's in the back pew. He's kneeling down. You know, I'm not going to kneel down. I'm going to be able to get up. He's beating his breast, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, that man left the house totally, the word he uses something like repented, totally forgiven. He left the house in my good grace, whereas the Pharisee left the house with nothing. Because the person who repented, he truly in his heart repented. And God, right there, in an instant, said he left justified, is the word I was looking for. I don't have it in front of me. He left that place justified before me. But the Pharisee, who looked so good, not so. I'll give you one more thing at the Old Testament here. And forgive me for this. This is like 5 verses. I was trying to make it a little bit smaller, but it's kind of interesting. So in 2 Kings, it came to pass when the king... If you read the Old Testament, you find out real quick that they're pretty good at backsliding back to idolatry. Doing things that they don't even mention in the Bible, it's still there. So it came to pass, the king, when he heard the words of the Lord, he rent his clothes. So the priest went, I'm going to try to condense this, went to a prophetess, and she said to him, thus says the Lord, I will bring evil on this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even the words of the book which the king of Judah read, because they have forsaken me, they have burned incense to other gods, they might provoke me to anger, therefore my wrath is kindled against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is the prophetess who they went to, thus shall you say, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, is touching the word which I was heard, because thy heart was tender, you have humbled yourself before the Lord, and you heard what I spoke against this place and against the inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent your clothes and wept before me, I have heard you. And so once again, I think we're talking about two different sets of people here. One king, when he heard this, he rent his clothes and he said, I'm undone. And she said, God's repented. Now, God changes his mind sometimes, believe it or not. He says, God's not going to do that because you repented. I find that pretty wild. Okay. And so, James, when we bring it to the New Testament, and we are going to get to the session, trust me. But I'm kind of giving a foundation. James says, when he gives more grace, God resisteth the proud but gives grace to the humble. Again, apologize, this is King James. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So if we come before him like that Pharisee and say, boy, I'm the cat's meow, I know my Bible verses, I know this, I'm a fine, standing gentleman and stuff like that. If we come with pride, God resists you. It's like, you don't want God resisting you. I don't want God resisting me. But he says, but he gives grace to the humble. So if we come before him, and like I said, when we raised our hand, I assume, you know, really all of us would have or should have, because every month we read the Christian liturgy for the communion, and we confess, we have a confession, and we say, I've not done all that I should do. And so we say that together, so I trust we all know that we're still on a journey towards repentance and obedience towards God. Let me go on to this, the other part of James, where I said he resists the proud, but submit yourself before God, resist the devil, he will flee from you, draw near to God, he will draw near to you, and I'll leave it there. It says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift you up. So that's a foundation. I think It's an important thing to do. I don't think I personally do it enough. I don't think I review myself or, you know, as much as I should. So this is sounding kind of heavy, right? I get that. You know, I apologize. But it's a foundation where when we come before him in honesty and truth, he says, I'll forgive you. You come before me. Now you can speak to me. Because now when we speak to him, God is listening. He's listening to us. And that's what intercession is about to some degree. Let me quote here from a scripture in Ephesians 6. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching with perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, this is Paul speaking, for me, Paul, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. So Paul is here asking the church to intercede for him. Intercede means praying on behalf of somebody else or standing between. We just read a scripture today, but it's not the exact scripture. We were reading in Hebrews where Jesus is the intercession, the intercessor, and I was kind of looking for it on my device here. I really wasn't texting anybody this morning. It speaks of Yeshua, Jesus. Therefore, he is able to save unto the uttermost that come unto him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession. So, Yeshua, Jesus, I like to call him Yeshua because that's a more accurate, but by any name you call him, it's a wonderful thing. Jesus. He makes intercession for us at all times. And so we as the church are called to that ministry too. We're called to pray for one another. We're called to intercede on behalf of one another. And I'm leading up to, we've been talking, kicking the idea around having a night, maybe once a month, where we spend an hour in prayer and intercession. And so I'm kind of giving a little foundation for that too, what that might look like. And I'll address that a little bit. So, in intercession, we are now, let me read verse 20, where Paul is saying, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, he's asking the church, the Ephesians, to pray for him, to intercede for him. I always say this jokingly, but to make him look good, right? Paul's going to go out and he's going to do some miracle and he's going to do something and say, hey, wow, that's a great man of God. Well, we're praying for him. We're praying that God will use him to do what he needs to do. We're to pray for our leadership. You know, I ask sometimes, you know, how often do I pray for Christian? How often? How often do I pray for Brownsville community? For this community, we would reach out and touch that community. It's not as much as I think the Lord wants for me. I think we need to intercede for the leadership of this church, Christian, and the other people who are involved, the music people, just to really hold him up and hold the church up and hold the community up. And so once again, this is something we can do as individuals, but we want to try to implement that on a church-wide basis too. Maybe we're thinking about a Thursday night from 7 to 8 or something like that. So I just want to encourage us all to really bless one another. Another thing we want to keep in mind is we're to be blessing one another. You know, not finding things wrong or saying, well, I didn't like that, I didn't like that. We're supposed to bless one another and bless the church, bless the leaders that we have. And that's with our tongue, intercede with our hearts, and we're going to see great things happen. I think, and how would this look like? Say you came here for a group intercession. Again, there's lots of different modes of prayer. Intercession can be, we just came back yesterday from a group of people who sit around totally silent. That's how we pray. There are other groups that pray out loud and more demonstrative. There are others who pray in liturgies. Whatever works for you. If it's a prayer book that says, here's some intercessory prayers. or if you would tie to who God gives things to, whatever works for you, that's the way we are to see. It's not a given way. So what may happen here is we may start with a couple worship songs. We might just, somebody might lead out in prayer. Or we may just kneel here and just pray quietly. Or somebody may lift up their voice and say, I'm going to lift this up. And we all come in agreement to that. So somebody might say, we're going to pray for this. And then we all come into agreement because there's power in agreement. So what can happen is when we do this, it can actually break things open. It can actually get to a point where we're going to have two services. You know, that kind of stuff can happen. And not only does it change the outside world, it changes us too, internally, because it takes the focus off of us and onto God and His ways. So I hope this is encouraging to you. I know this. There's a lot of good things that can happen. I feel like I need to be more of an outreach. Another thing with intercession, when you're praying for someone else, it might just touch you where you're going to actually do more. Because we're all ministers, right? I'm not trying to say, you know, the only minister here is Christian. He's obviously the pastor, which is a very visible and very... But we all have a calling. We're all people, we're all members of the body of Christ. So that's kind of where I'm going to leave it. If Christian wants to add something to it, he can, but I hope we illuminated a few things. Thank you.